GNC 499. It's Tuesday, August 4th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, I got a great show. Yes, we're one show away from show 500, and if I got a great extravaganza prepared for you for show 500, but hey, it's podcast time. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Welcome to the show, of course, and make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Make sure you get signed up for our newsletter. The newsletter will deliver you all of the show notes from each show directly to your email inbox each and every day following the podcast creation. And if you're not subscribed to the show yet, make sure you get subscribed. You can do that via iTunes or Zune Marketplace or just a standard podcatcher or any of your mobile devices and so forth. And the link, of course, will be there at geeknewscentral.com. How's everybody doing? How you doing? I'm doing great. A little bit of a late start here in Honolulu. It's been a very busy day. Kids back in school. Wife is out of town for a few days, so I'm taking care of everything here, holding the fort down. Wow. Really, my life right now is so buried in classwork. Between doing stuff for Raw Voice, consulting I do, classwork, and anything else, I really don't have much of a life. And it sometimes I really wonder why I torture myself, but that's just the way it is. Had some final bookkeeping to do over the weekend. Got that done. Got that off to Barry over at Raw Voice, and we paid a bunch of podcasters tonight, and it's amazing to see the mass payment from PayPal come through, because probably 80 or 90% of our podcasters take a PayPal payment, and we basically set that up as a batch payment. It just all goes at once, and then we get one receipt for the total amount that goes out, and it always amazes me what that total is. It just blows me away that we're putting the dollars that we are into podcasters' pocket each month. And it's just continuously, it's grown and grown and grown. And the actual accounting and everything is required to make sure that everyone gets paid fairly and so forth has grown and grown and grown. And we're actually investing a lot of money in our back end right now to try to finalize all of the automation on that. So we're hoping to have that up and running in the next several months or so. TPN Weekly, I want to remind everyone to get over to techpodcast.com. Click on the blog over there. Pawana McCall did the Tech Podcast Weekly this week. He is at Pawana.tv, and you can find his link over to his he's doing both video and audio right now. And I must say, his show is absolutely on fire. Amazing amount of growth right now. Pawana, whatever you are doing, man, you are hitting it on all cylinders. I was very impressed with basically where your show has come from and where it's going. Definitely check out what he's doing. And aspiring podcasters looking to bump their numbers just need to take a few moments and go over to his website and just watch and see, because it's really, I was pretty surprised the performance on the last couple of quarters over there. But good job by Pawana on that, and of course you'll be able to sample more Tech Podcast members putting together a weekly introduction podcast to their podcast at Tech Podcast. That was a mouthful. And, of course, click on the blog link to find it there. We've seen significant traffic on our roundtable as well. So that's up there. You can check that out. And we're going to get planning here for the next one. This month is going to blast. Here we are right at the very beginning of the month. But it just seems like by the time we get our act together, it's always the final hours of the last week of the month. We'll try to get one out a little earlier this month. I want to remind everyone to check out the free magazine offers on the second column of the website. That'll get you situated to pick up some cool tech magazines, white papers, you name it. That's a great place to go. All right, our show 500, of course, is next. The next show, and I'm really excited to put the show together. It's going to be, simulcast, recorded via an audio recording, and also on Ustream this coming Thursday. And I put some planning into it. I think we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to do a lot of review. It's going to be a lot of reminiscing. I think we'll spend quite a bit of time just chatting like this. But that's the way it is. It's going to be show 500, and I'm definitely bringing some tech news. But we're going to have a lot of fun. Going to give some cool stuff to give away. I've got some cool prizes here stacked up that I'm going to be giving away. And matter of fact, we're going to be have a giveaway as well. Here directly. And those of you that have entered your promo codes over to podcastmadness.com, you want to pay attention over there because we're going to be having Jeffrey is going to be doing a live event where we're going to be announcing those winners for those prizes. And that's coming up, I believe, here at the end of the week. I'll get a date for you and probably put it in the show notes. but the show 500 is quite a milestone for me. I'd actually gotten an email from one of our listeners that said, hey, what are you going to do with yourself after show 500? And, well, we're just going to continue to march forward towards show 1,000. It's been an amazing ride up to this point. Of course, the ride wouldn't have been possible without our sponsors. Now, I guess I'll get into that tonight. I want to tell you guys a little story about when I first started podcasting in 2004, what I had laid out in front of me. So far as those of you that weren't here, those of you that have been here the whole time already know this story. But I want to lay out to you what my plan was. And the sponsors of the show, of course, are very vital to was very vital to the show in the very, very beginning. But you, the listening audience, is really what is the most vital component of the podcast today. I want to go ahead and, of course, give a shout out to GoDaddy for continued sponsorship here at Geek News Central. And those of you that have picked up domain names, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, I want to thank you. But I want to share with you what I did this weekend. We had four servers coming up for renewal. Matter of fact, they were due, and I went online and logged into GoDaddy.com. I went and picked renewal for each of the four servers. A couple of them are just some average boxes. One of them is one that we've really got souped up with a lot of RAM and so forth. And I think the total bill was around $4,000 was what the bill was for the four boxes. Like I said, one of them is really the top end of the line, and the other three were kind of mediocre. So anywhere from $500 or $600 a year for one, and then there was one that was pretty high. But I used my Geek5 code, saved $600. That is a savings. I am going to tell you, $600 was the savings. I was just about, or maybe 400 to 600, whatever it was. I actually have to bring up the email, but I was blown away. I was like, wow. So use those promo codes over there because even if you're making small purchases, they definitely add up, and it definitely is a support of the show here. So check out GoDaddy.com. Geek5, 15% on orders, $20 or more. Code Todd, T-O-D-D, for non-domain purchases. That'll save you 10% on your order. ComSale is a good one for .com, so it'll save you some money. Of course, don't forget there's a link on the website. All you got to do is click that link, go to the page that has all of our GoDaddy promo codes. When you get to the checkout counter, pick the one that's going to save you the most money and use that one. It's definitely appreciated very, very much when you do so. Of course, it would not go without saying a big thanks to GoToMeeting as well. Online conferencing is really and having online meetings, there is no other product that does it any better than GoToMeeting. And I think you can find very quickly that all you have to do is go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast, download or sign up and get a free 30-day trial. And you'll find out absolutely how powerful this application is. Use it. Do meetings with it. Use the online voice IP service. And I think you're going to find that instead of having to get in the car and drive somewhere or get on an airplane and go someplace, by using gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for that free trial, you can get some pretty good bang for the buck there. And I thank GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here as well. Okay, got a lot of stuff for you tonight. Let me look through my little list here. Hey, I will mention that I am once again, on the hunt for some more contributors at Geek News Central. So if you want to be a contributing author on the website, feel free to contact me at geeknews@gmail.com. We're going to be adding a couple of more authors to the site. You know, what kind of happens is we've got a number of great authors that are putting up articles on their website. But just like anything else, they get busy, and sometimes they're not able to post as often as often as I wish they would. So basically, I'm just going to continue to add people to the actual cadre of contributors over there, and it will basically help to continue the site to grow. And but if you're interested, geeknews@gmail.com. And but yeah, definitely check out all the great content that's over there. We've had lots of great contributions by the authors that are currently blogging at geeknewscentral.com. Okay, what have I got here? Let me load up Firefox. I got a bunch of tabs opened up. We got some voicemails that are non-related to the 500 show. We'll be playing that at the end of the podcast. And I actually got an English lesson from one of our listeners. that'll be a little bit fun. You guys can listen to that. It's a common mistake that I do when I'm very, very tired, but you'll get a kick out of it. We play all voicemails here, but this is the time to get your calls in. To call in for the 500th show, you just pick up the telephone or your cell phone or Skype, and you dial in to 619 is the area code, 619-342-7365. Call in for the 500th show. Love to see that inbox fill up before for the 500th podcast. If you just want to send an email, feel free to do so. geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, if you have comments on tonight's podcast, you'll definitely want to send stuff in as well. Okay, let me go ahead here and load up the first article. And it's a article over on WXPnews.com. And it says, how many computers do you really need? And you know, many of us probably have more than one computer in our home. And you know, back in the day, the cost of a PC was, you know, multiple thousands of dollars. Back in the early days when it was 8088, 8286, 8386, and then they started slowly to get cheaper when the Pentium series was essentially introduced. And but how many computers you guys got in your house? Do each of your kids have one? Do you share? Do you have hand-me-downs? Is it how it works? You work on a laptop for a couple of years and the screen goes bad and you hand it off to a kid and you put a monitor on it. What do you guys do these days? How many of you got in your home? Kind of love to hear, you know, and if you don't want me to say your name, you can go ahead and email me and just give a number, and then we'll just kind of run through those on the 500 show. But I kind of related with this. How many computers do you have in your house? And I think I have too many here based upon what's sitting on the desk. But it's amazing what it takes to really have a coordinated show production. All right, over on the Register, the Mars rover is stalking a mystery space alien object. Opportunity has come across what they think is a meteorite. And they're slowly approaching, and they got some cameras on it. And, you know, every time you think that the Rovers are just about the point where they're doomed, they run across something else that's it's pretty cool. Now, looking at this picture, you can tell what blows me away about this picture is they're not in a crater. There's not a big hole. It's just kind of like this thing with just, you know, this bare landscape everywhere. And it's just this piece of rock hanging out on the Mars landscape. And I think it's striking. Okay, meteorites. How do they get on the ground? Well, they come from space, right? don't they come in at a high speed and make an impact? It's as if somebody drove up there with a truck, dumped this thing out, swept the sand from the ground, and just drove away. I mean, it just looks like it's so odd in its placement and where it's sitting. It's really kind of weird. And I'm sure the conspiracy theorists will have a heyday with this because they'll say, there's no way that thing could get placed. There's no skid marks from where it slid in. You know, who knows? But once you guys see this, I think you'll agree with me. I'll have the link up in the show notes here. But I just don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to roll over there and grind on it or not. But isn't it amazing that our rovers are still collecting great science up there? And our alien rover on Mars has found an alien object. So very cool. It really, really is. Okay. Over on Times Online, and this is probably one of the most shocking and exploding stories of the evening, but it appears Apple has attempted to silence a father and daughter with a gagging order after the child's iPod music player exploded and the family sought a refund from the company. Apparently, this thing was, either the father or the daughter dropped it, and it started making a hissing noise with smoke coming out of it, and he threw it out of the house, out the backyard into the grass, and within 30 seconds there was a pop and a big puff of smoke, and it went 10 feet in the air. Now, whether or not, obviously if they dropped it, something happened there where something short-circuited, but we drop things every day. How many of us drop our cell phones every day? Not every day, but once in a while. And, you don't expect the thing to start smoking and explode. But, what if that's in a laptop bag or if in a purse or who knows where in your pocket? I don't want something that's going to explode and jump 10 feet in the air anywhere in and around my person. Now, essentially what has happened is they reached out to Apple. And they said, hey, we just want a refund. And Apple sent them this legal letter, which basically says, hey, if you want to accept the money, you have to keep your mouth shut about this. You can never talk about it. They wanted a confidentiality agreement with them. And if they ever broke that silence, Apple would seek a injunctive relief with damage. In other words, they would sue them. Now, this comes on the heels of this a report that was garnished by a reporter here in the United States who obtained 800 pages of documentation on cases from the Consumer Product Safety Commission following a Freedom of Information Act, where she was able to get documentation on other instances like this. Now, this particular family is in Liverpool, so it's not a U.S. incident. It's in the U.K. So a little bit of Apple's trying to keep the lid on this, but it is a bit concerning. Now, I'll tell you a little something that happened to me this weekend. I had gotten up Saturday morning to a little bit of chaos here at the house and grabbed my phone, and it came off the charger, and we were running around like chickens with our heads cut off. I was trying to get my wife out of town. And it just came off the charger. I had it in my pocket, made just a couple of phone calls, but in the late afternoon, I checked the phone, and it was dead. I mean, it was D-E-A-D. It was like dead on arrival. It wasn't charging, nothing. And was completely baffled on why it had drained itself. One person on Twitter had recommended that I just go ahead and reset the phone, completely shut it. Well, it got reset when the power ran out. I mean, the power is out so far that it shut itself off. and it wouldn't start up for a little bit after I was charging. Any of you with the iPhones run into this issue? And if so, what did you do? Is this a time for a trip down to the Apple Store? That is the question of the day. But a little bit concerning to see the battery dead like that after having really done nothing. So if anybody else had that experience, let me know. And what did you do about it? Over on TechCrunch reporting that Google is going to be launching a major offensive against Microsoft with Going Google. I've talked before about Google Apps here on the show. And let me change the camera view. And you all know that I'm a big fan of Google Apps. We use it for our email at Raw Voice. I use it for my email at geeknewscentral.com and a variety of different domains. It's such a relief. When I was running my own mail server, I had to have someone check the logs, had to update the spam filters. You know, it was all this stuff that I had to do. And it was kind of an IT level thing. And it was no fun. It just really, you know, it kind of sucked. And, you know, if the mail server went down, I had to figure out what was going on. With Google Apps, they've just really kind of like eliminated all the headache. I mean, completely. And my spam is very, very minimal. And use Google Docs, use the calendar, all those other applications. And it's really, it's been a godsend. It's completely eliminated what I would call a piece of, you know, you have so much time in a day, right? You don't want to be spending time dealing with that kind of stuff. And I'm a big fan of this. And I know some of you may be a little bit concerned about, you know, Big Brother and so forth. But it's a great product. And you can still get access to Google Apps for free. You just kind of have to dig around a little bit. They make it look like you have to pay. But you still can sign up for Google Apps with your domain names. You just got to go out there and kind of look through and get through the links over at Google Apps. And you'll find the way to getting free access to the application. Now, you can pay for it, of course, so much per year on the per email address. And that's really worth it as well. It ups the ante in what you can do and access to different things. So those of you that have had Google Apps running your email and using Google Docs and so forth, how has your experience been? I'd love to hear your comments at geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right. JetBlue and United have been giving Twitter a try. They're trying to sell airline seats fast. So what they've been doing is offering Twitter followers first dibs on some discounted fares. Now, this is pretty cool because very often I'm looking for deals. And if I need to go somewhere, I'm always on the hunt. Now, those of you that are in the lower 48, you'll probably have more opportunities than I do. But JetBlue posted its first cheap, in other words, cheap flight on July 6th. It was a $9 one-way trip from JFK to Nantucket. Now, not a very long flight, but $9, cheaper than driving. That's pretty cool, especially if you can book a round trip, $18 for a fare. You know, you can't beat that. And then, of course, if you have transportation on the other end, it helps as well. So United's doing some of the same thing, so you'll definitely want to follow JetBlue and United Airlines on Twitter. And, you know, if you're paying attention, maybe you'll find one of these cheap fares and it's going someplace that you want to go and be able to score yourself some cheap seats. And that is really what they're trying to do here, is trying to fill the airplanes up. They're trying to make sure that no airplane leaves the gate with any empty seats. All right, over on Mobile Crunch, this is a big one here, folks. Apple has banned the App Store's third most prolific developer. And this just blew me away. Not because they banned someone, but because of who they banned. They banned a development company that was out of Pakistan who had 26 employees who have published 943 applications to the App Store. And I guess what these were these were pretty simple apps. They were submitting 5 to 6 apps every day. And they basically were mashups of different types of content, basically browsers that did specific searches, syndicated data, RSS feeds, and just all they really were was a specific topic type application. So they really didn't have a lot of value, but a lot of people were complaining about infringement of copyright and so forth. So they shut this guy down, said your license has been revoked, and 900 apps, poof, gone from the App Store. So there's another company out there, believe it or not, that's got more apps. There's another company that has 2,000 apps, and there's some indication that they may be next. But if you think about that, what is there, 50 or 60,000 apps on the App Store? And to think that one developer had what they're quoting here as 900 useless apps on the App Store, while Google and their Google Voice app, which was a perfectly valid, good, would have been a high feature type of app that probably they spent months developing, was rejected. But yet they got all these crap apps that are essentially filling up the App Store and taking up space for people that have spent time making, you know, substantial apps out there for their, you know, for consumer use. But 943 apps, poof, gone off the App Store. Now, if you've got one of these apps, no updates or anything else, and I don't know how long it's going to be supportable. If it goes dead with the content in it, don't be surprised. But pretty good story on this today. We'll see if Apple really goes after anybody, any additional developers like this. All right, Ancestry.com has filed for a $75 million initial public offering. And so this is a, according to an SEC filing, plans to be listed on the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange under the symbol ACOM, A-C-O-M. And they've got some big name underwriters going on. And this company was originally founded back in 1983. So that tells you that they've been around for a while. So this is big. And, of course, they've had venture funding and different types of people that have come in. So we'll see what happens here. But a very company that's been around for a long time is making an IPO. So it just goes to show, if you're consistent, work hard, maybe the reward will come to the stockholders and of actually those that have invested in Ancestry.com. So I haven't been over that site. I'll have to check that out. All right, over on Robin Good's website, he's got a pretty good article here on online content distribution. It's a guide to the best content syndication services. And really, you know, there, as far as I'm concerned, there hasn't been a lot of great content syndication sites out there that I have found recently. And all of these sites I was at all have never heard of before. NewsTech, Spear, DayLife, Blogburst, ClearSpring, sounds like Clearwire almost, ClearSpring, Mochila, and GigaGya, G-I-G-Y-A. Now, I may have heard of Spear before, but these are all syndication sites that give you information from like US Today, Reuters, MSNBC, Business Week, Los Angeles Times, the International Tribune, McGraw-Hill, Fox, Washington Post, New York Post. So it's all basically mainstream media outlets, print and television. And you got LexisNexis in here. That's a big one. So got some if you're looking for, you know, syndicated of that type of content, these are some good sites to go through. And you can probably do some configurability with your accounts to get exactly what you want. I would hope in an RSS feed. Over on Engadget, pretty cool video here. You can watch a solid-state drive get made at the Runcore factory. So if you want to see how SSD drives are made in China, you can check out a pretty cool video here on how they're put together. And this was a video that was put up on Vidler, and I think you'll get a pretty big kick out of this. And it's really, they're not that complicated. But to see these factory workers work is pretty impressive. So I have this link, of course, up in the show notes for you to check out. And I almost got to play this video for you. Let's see if I can reload this. There's no words. It's just music. It is a iPhone, how should I say it, video And it's an anti-ad for the iPhone. And I got a good chuckle out of it because in many instances, it was targeted towards AT&T. And I really love what they've done here. And it's, again, going along the same theme. Love the phone, hate the service. So I have this up. This was over at brandflakesforbreakfast.com. First time I've been to this website. And I guess they do some interesting clips like this from time to time, pick stuff up. It's a blog devoted to news, ideas, design, branding, and gossip. So it's a pretty good, seems to be a nice design too, by the way. So I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. And send me your feedback, you iPhone users, what you think of the video. Of course, those of you that have G1s and Pre's and Windows Mobile, I'm sure you guys will get a kick out of it as well. I've got Firefox here on my Mac trying to update itself. And no, you cannot do that right now. You have to wait. All right, over on Read Write Web, they review a iPhone app. And you know, why don't you guys do me a favor? My goal initially, when I was going to have a segment on apps, was to do one every show. And obviously, that hasn't worked out. So if you found a good app, whether it be for Palm, Pre, whether it be for G1, whether it be for iPhone, whether it be for even your Windows mobile phone, you know, you need to send me an email. Let me know what send me a link to a cool app that you found. Or if you guys have got some sites that you check on a regular basis that are pointing you towards some cool apps, let me know. But this one over at Read Write Rev talks about a RSS aggregator. It's called My Sixth Sense. It's a web-based mobile feed reader. And they've got this a version of it ready for the iPhone. I think they actually call it Moss. That's the actual graphic that's on it. But this is a pretty good RSS reader for the iPhone. And I've been playing around with a number of these, and I saw this tonight, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a good one. And the review on it is real good. I haven't loaded it in my phone yet, but I will be. Just based upon what I saw in the video and everything. So if you want to check this out, if you're looking for a good RSS reader for your iPhone, I believe they have them for other applications as well. You can go over to this article that I have linked up in the show notes. All right, very interesting article over at blog.journalistics.com. It's a look at how people share content on the web. This is, I was looking through this and read this whole entire article. And I don't know where they got their information on this. I don't know how they were able to come up with these segments. But it starts off, now this is how you and I share content via the web. I know right now how I share content is largely, especially with people that I know in a close inner circle, I do a lot of email. I do stuff in Twitter. I very rarely share links in Facebook. And I don't use Yahoo bookmarks and so forth, but the survey results say that 24% of people, I'm assuming this is a survey because they've got it broke out that way, 24% of people share links via Facebook, 11.1% share via email, 10.8% share via Twitter, 5.5% share via Yahoo bookmarks. Followed then in this consecutive order, MySpace, Windows Live, Delicious, Dig, Google Bookmarks, Yahoo Buzz, Reddit, StumbleUpon, Bebo, and other. I wonder if that other is blogs. I wonder if people are sharing links other via blogs, because nowhere in here is there a link for blogs, which I find kind of disturbing. You know, one thing that I mentioned to, I don't know, I went to Chris Prillo's meetup on Friday. Got to spend some time chatting with Chris, meeting one of his friends here in Hawaii. Of course, met up with a lot of people that are in kind of this Twitter groups here in Hawaii, and also podcasters and video bloggers and so forth. Had a great conversation with those guys, but we were talking about the Volo Media patent. And I was talking with a real good friend of mine. She does Beach Walks with Rox, and her name is Roxanne Darling. We were just kind of talking privately, and I said, you know, I said, if this had been a couple of years ago, people would have been outraged, and there would have been hundreds of blog posts. But I said, the majority of people that were talking about the Volo Media podcasting patent or episodic content patent were doing so via Twitter. They were just Twittering, what do you think about this? Or, wow, the Volo Media got this and this and that. You know, and there was very few, a.k.a. blog posts. And it just proved to me that the dynamics of how stuff is being done on the web has truly changed. And I, up to this point, I really haven't accepted that, because I truly believe that the power you have in a blog is that it's indexable by Google. Very rarely do you see a Twitter post come anywhere in the rankings in Twitter. I mean, in Google. They just don't rank Twitter posts. It's 140 characters is really not enough. And so, you know, are you building? If you are a content creator, are you build? How much brand awareness are you really building by? And, you know, how much Google juice are you getting by spending a lot of time on Twitter? So, you know, that's where I really got to thinking that, you know, there's some way things have shifted. There's opportunities out there now for those of you that are maybe doing shows or doing a blog that have maybe kind of walked away from it a little bit to come back to it full force, because not as many people are writing as much content online. So maybe there's some room for growth of your particular property. Now, that's just Todd's opinion. But you, looking at this, how people are sharing content on the web, you know, my Facebook friends, I think I've got, I don't know, I don't even know what the number is. It's between 600 and 900 friends, something like that, on Facebook. I'm very close to going over 5,000 on Twitter. But I'm looking at my statistics, and, you know, maybe there's 100 clicks on my Twitter account to Geek News Central on a daily basis. Maybe, you know, a tenth of that from Facebook. Not very much stuff comes from Facebook to my blog. But yet Google drives multiple thousands of hits to my website each day just for the simple fact that there's a lot of content there that's been indexed. So I guess this is, you know, backing up. I'm trying to, you know, what I'm trying to do here is just make you guys think a little bit about how you're putting media online. And have you guys shifted? Have all of you moved to using Twitter and those types of tools, or Facebook or email, more than you have than blogging something? I guess that's the question I have for you. You know, where you guys sit in this whole space on how you're distributing links and so forth. Geeknews@gmail.com is where those comments can come to. All right, Facebook has announced that it's going to crack down on ad networks that and basically put out some new guidelines. Starting today, where ad networks must receive authorization from Facebook to run ads that contain user data such as names and profile pictures. The company said in a blog post, Facebook's actions were spurred by a recent claim from its users that the social network was letting advertisers post pictures of them without their permission. This was some site that had a application or something on Facebook, was actually running a national advertisement with people's pictures and stuff without their permission, and people didn't like that. And normally, if your face is used in a face or likeness or so forth is used in an advertisement, usually you get paid for that. So this is a new change to Facebook policy. I don't know how this is going to affect things, but, you know, we'll see. All right, there's an article over on GigaOM talking about, will TV everywhere swamp cable networks? And this is in relation to Comcast talking about they're moving towards a anytime, anyplace, anywhere TV offering. In other words, you can be mobile, you can be at home and you want to watch a specific show you missed the night before and you didn't have it in your DVR, you could still recall and play that program. So what they're going to be doing is they're going to be streaming potentially popular cable TV content over the cable company's internet pipes. And making that content available via computer, via, you know, whichever way you want to consume it, they're going to try and make it available to you. And so there's this worry now that because they're going to this TV Everywhere program, that this may swamp the ability, or actually the amount of content that people are going to start consuming is going to be outgrow their ability to deliver it all. So what they did is they basically broke down an estimate of how much speed is available to a single home and how much a home could use and how many in our specific node and so forth. So there is some concern. Now, the folks over at Motorola are saying, oh, no, don't worry. The cable providers have the capability of ramping up their bandwidth and making plenty of content available without hurting, you know, making other people suffer when they're, you know, surfing the internet and so forth. I don't know if I buy that or not, but here's the kicker to all this. If they're going to make all this content available, let's say you're going to consume it from your PC, what does that do to your, like, your bandwidth usage, right? Because Comcast has bandwidth limits, right? So what does that do? You know, how does that affect things? It's you know, it's very contradictory. Contradictory. Oh, man. But anyway, are you a Comcast customer? Are you taking advantage of its TV Everywhere program? How are you consuming content via that? And what do you think that's going to do to your internet speed there at your house? Who's calling me? Oh, this is someone I can't talk to right now. They're going to have to go to voicemail. All right, RSS subscribers or Twitter followers, which are worth more? I believe RSS subscribers are worth more, without a doubt. I think that, you know, based upon what I've seen in, again, talking earlier about what we're seeing in traffic to one's websites and so forth from those specific brands. Now, if you're a TechCrunch or someone like that, you know, your Twitter followers are probably worth a lot. But I really think the RSS subscribers, those of you that listen to this show, via our, you know, get the actual download via iTunes or via Zune Marketplace, however you get the show downloaded, you are absolutely much more valuable than even those that are on Ustream watching the show right now. Because the Ustream audience is very, 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 very small. While I appreciate they come and hang out with me at this, you know, very late hour in the morning for most of them, I definitely appreciate them coming and hanging out. You know, this show is largely the 99.99999% of you that download the podcast. This is who the show's created for. And so absolutely, I know that the RSS base on at least the Geek News Central website is much, much more valuable. That listener base is than even though my almost 5,000 followers on Twitter. Because, again, the number of people that follow me on Twitter is a very, very small. Well, not that small. It's maybe 2 or 3% of the actual audience that listens to the show. So, you know, still, once again, the RSS portion of the audience to subscribe and download the podcast is much more valuable than Twitter is. Okay, Google is announcing that in Chrome, that's, of course, their browser, they're going to have bookmark syncing, and this is a you know, this is a feature that I use through a plugin on Firefox. I actually use an application. I don't even know if I can bring it up here without messing things up, but I have a little application that I run within Firefox that anytime I update a bookmark, it basically, when I get ready to close the browser, it says, "Hey, do you want to sync your bookmarks?" And I say, "Yes, of course," and it syncs them. And then when I go on a different PC and I load it up, the browser syncs and brings in all those bookmarks from the other computer I was on. So it really is it works out well. I just wish it was native with Firefox, but that's what Google's going to do. They're going to be launching bookmark syncing with Chrome, and this is after it was killed on Firefox. And I guess I don't know if Google actually provided that service for Firefox or not, but I think the Firefox folks ought to get their act together and put this as a you know, standard thing that isn't the actual browser itself, and not as an add-on. All right, those of you that live in Texas, Boise, Idaho, Bellingham. Hey, guess what? Clearwire is saying that on September 1st, folks that live in Abilene, Amarillo, Corpus Christi, Lubbock, Midland, Odessa, Kyleen, Temple, Waco, and Wichita Falls is going to be getting WiMAX on September 1st. This is cool. You guys know I go to Waco from time to time. And I wonder what it's going to take. What is that? I just had, don't you hate that when you're like talking and all of a sudden you feel something in your mouth? I guess that was part of dinner. Gross. don't you think that if you live in those areas, I want to hear right away if you sign up for this 4G service. I want reports coming out of our, we've got listeners down in many of these cities. So I want to hear from you folks on how the speed is. I'm sure we're going to hear pretty quickly as well. But I wonder how I can actually get some WiMAX roaming service. I have to wait for it to come here to Hawaii. Then we'll have to check that out. But WiMAX rollout September 1st for 10 new mid-sized markets across both Idaho, Washington, and Texas. So good on for everyone. All right, OCZ has come out with a 1 terabyte SSD. Now, what do you think it's going to cost? Oh my goodness. A 1 terabyte SSD is going to set you back a whopping $2,200. Wow. Wow, $2,200 for a 1 terabyte SSD drive. Now, 128 gig drive will cost you $250. Let's see here, 256 will cost you $500. The 306. This is weird how they got the pricing listed in here. Yep, $2,200. $1,200 for a 512 gig drive. So get out your wallets if you want a big one. Wow, that's just $2,200 for a 1 terabyte SSD. Guess what? I think I'll wait. How about you guys? Let the early adopters go get those. My goodness, that's an extraordinary price. Golly, $2,200. That's a price to pay to stay current. All right, you know, it's kind of ironic. We talked about Windows Mobile a little bit on the last couple of shows. Had a good email feedback from Ron, who's a dedicated Windows Mobile user. Ron, you'll be happy to know that Windows Mobile 7 is actually coming. And they're got some pretty positive reviews so far. And there's some videos and of the actual operating system. You can check it out. They're not very happy that the phone is not completely touch-based. But so far, everyone is saying positive things about Windows Mobile 7. So we'll see what happens with this. And Ron, you may get that chance to upgrade to a little smarter phone, a little more classy, give you some of those iPod or iPhone options. And the one that they actually show here in the video is an HTC phone. So that should be available. Well, we'll see when Windows rolls that out. All right, Pandora partners with Clear Channel. So if you are on Clear Channel, you're going to be able to get Pandora via the relationship they've got there. I found a pretty cool article over on Wired Magazine talking about a new Air Force, an Air Force program that's going on that is energizing the ionosphere. And there's all kinds of conspiracy theories going on with this, but it's a pretty long Wired article. I thought I would provide that to all of you. Hey, you know something? It doesn't pay to alert companies or schools that they've got issues with their software. You know, if you've dug around and you found, hey, here's a bug, maybe I ought to submit this to the IT administrator at the school or the place I work, because a individual at Carleton University in Canada was arrested for essentially telling his university about a serious security breach within the school. This has been an ordeal that he's been going through for quite a while. It was based upon a 16-page paper he submitted to the school. But the school recently has dropped the charges, and then they're going to allow him to go through a community service program. Now, the question is, instead of being in charge. The question is, did they kick him out of school? Did they get him some sort of education ethics violation and they bounce him? The article doesn't go into that. But be careful. If you're finding stuff and you're looking around at different applications and playing around, it could land you in jail. And for this kid's, the young adult's hacking, or not hacking, but exploring, I guess, he faced some serious charges. Now he's got to do some community service. You know, they should have been thankful to him, but they said he actually logged into some accounts and so forth, and that's why they pushed so hard back. Okay, the FCC has basically woke up from its deep slumber, and it's going to be going, it's asked Apple and AT&T exactly why the Google Voice application was rejected, and said that they are going to be investigating this. They've asked for a number of questions to be answered by both AT&T and Apple. There has been an initial response from AT&T that says, hey, we don't have nothing to do with the app store process. We're innocent. Yeah, whatever. We'll see if there's any cohesion or collusion. Because they're required to provide any type of cross communications between Apple and AT&T. So we'll see what comes of this with the FCC. But I'm glad to see that they're taking a look at this. There's a lot of other things that they ought to look at too over this exclusive deal. All right, this one here is over the top. This article, if this doesn't make you sit back and go, huh, nothing will. Slashdot has pointed to a story that sounds like, it almost sounds to me like it's got to be a joke. But Slashdot has pointed towards a plan by the UK's children secretary. His name is Ed Balls, to spend £400 million to put 20,000 families, quote unquote, the worst families, under constant surveillance. Now, if you've got kids that are skipping school, or they're being hooligans, all kinds of different types of ways that they qualify, families would qualify, they are proposing to put 20,000 families under constant surveillance. There is absolutely no way this is going to happen, even in the UK. You have got to be kidding me. Can you believe that? This is just as over top as it gets. Are we going into a police state in the UK? Are you going to, is this got any legs to it? Is this true? Or is this just, put this up as a gaffe? I don't get it. I really, really don't. Hey, a spammer that was convicted of spamming recently has discovered that his insurance policy does not cover his $6 million spam fines. Well, that's good. It's good to know that our insurance rates won't be going up because of this this idiot Scott Richter, who was basically caught spamming in 2005, and then 2007 had a $6 million award against him, and that was filed by MySpace. And so now he's going to be he's going to have to cough up the cash himself, which is good. All right. The AP has gone so over the top. This is just unbelievable. All right. AP has been saying, hey, fair use, that's gone. If you want to use our content, you've got to pay for it. So if you want to use more than four words from an AP article, yes, four. I'm almost afraid to even read this article because I may have to pay them, right? If you want to use more than four words on your blog, you have to pay. Now, it's $12.50 for the first 5 to 25 words. So if you want to use 25 words from an article, you got to cough up $12.50. Not only that, you have to put an entire footer underneath the quoted text that basically says, 2009 Associated Press, all rights reserved, licensed by your name, for 26 words on August 2, 2009. You may forward this article or obtain additional permission at the following iCopyright license record and renewal locator. And it has link to it. Press Association Associated Press logos are registered trademarks of the Press Association. The iCopyright logo is a registered trademark of iCopyright Incorporated. So if you want to use 25 words, you got to put this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 30, 45, 60, 67 word disclaimer below it. They have simply lost their minds. Yeah, you know, I have to laugh. Here's the license that this guy, paid for. This is a quote. If nature has made any one thing less susceptible than all others of exclusive property, it is the action of the thinking power called an idea. And he took this from a AP report on something to do with some sort of a military article that was out. But it's kind of appropriate, I think, in the context that he wrote this article. But cost him $12.50 to use those words. Oh, pick wisely. Hey, and don't worry. If you use more than that, you have to pay more. And if you want to quote yourself, that's money as well. So get your wallets out if you're going to be quoting AP content. All right, couple of articles here on Slashdot. A scammer plants a fake ATM at DEF CON 17. You know, fake ATMs, this thing goes around once in a while. And, you know, you stick your ATM card in there. It says, hey, go ahead and enter your PIN. You enter your PIN information. It grabs all your data. And it says, oh, we can't connect to anybody. They kicks your card back up. Well, it didn't take the folks over at DEF CON 17 too long to figure out that there was a fake ATM. This is pretty gutsy. There's one less fake ATM and a whole lot of investigators on the tail of that perpetrator. Can you imagine? You know, nothing like this. Those guys, they'll find out who put that out there, and it's going to be ugly. Hey, Radio Shack. Hey, it's going to be called the Shack. There's reports out that they're going to rename their brand to the Shack. Instead of Radio Shack, it's going to be the Shack. All right, we talked about Joel Tenenbaum just hours after the last show. Yes, he was found guilty by self-admission of doing peer-to-peer file sharing. And the RIAA asked for a submarine judgment. The judge complied, and the jury was for about 3 hours. Now, remember I told you he was offered initially to pay like $5,200? He's in for $675,000 for sharing 30 songs. Whew, they better be good ones. You hope that they're good. Now, think about that. 99 cents each per song. That's $30. Or you share them with, it's just ridiculous. $675,000. I think I'd have opted to put that charge on a credit card, the $5,200 initial offering. Good article over on Daily Tech talking about the International Space Station, talking about a little bit of what China is doing in its attempt to do some more space exploration. But I think the most interesting story here, and fellas, ladies, you're going to go, ooh, with this. But, you know, this guy should get a bonus. The Japanese astronaut Koichi Watanabe, I probably just destroyed his name, who recently returned to Earth aboard the shuttle Endeavour, did not change his underwear for 1 month. Whew. Whew. Watanabe said there were no complaints. And the underwear worn was built in antibacterial, odor elimination, anti-static, water absorbent, flame retardant features. I like the antibacterial, odor eliminating. He should get a huge bonus for wearing his underwear for an entire month. That just grosses me out more than anything. But all in the name of science. And I bet he had a very stinky butt. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I hope I didn't just break the show rule on being child safe. All right. Apple Snow Leopard topped the software charts. Amazon's got it available. So if you are an Apple fan, you'll want to get your pre-orders in for Apple forthcoming OS 10.6, codename Snow Leopard. Basically, the demand is so high and pre-orders on this. It's got the top two spots in its software sales charts. The single user version of Snow Leopard is priced at $29. That's cheap. And there's a family version for five users. Wow, for $49. This price is considerably lower than previous versions, which are traditionally priced around $129. Apple's also selling a box set of Snow Leopard and Apple iWork and iLife application suites for $169 or $229 for five users. The server edition of Snow Leopard, called Mac OS X Server, is $499. No release date has been expected, but I'm sure that they're going to release it just about the same time as Windows 7 comes out. At that price, who isn't going to upgrade? $29 for a single computer? Is that that's remarkable. It really, really is. Oh, boy, I got a stack of stuff here. Let me rush through this so we can get into the rest of the content tonight. Netflix's Add Lost and other ABC shows to streaming lineup. So if you're a Netflix fan, you'll have that available. Over on Information Week, it's being announced that the Pirate Bay spokesman Sunday has stepped down. Peter Sunday, who has been the frontman for the file-sharing site, making him a web celebrity. And he has walked away, said he's want to move on to bigger and better things. And, of course, that's after he goes to jail for a year. Over on Computer World, update: Twitter is now blocking bad URLs, but imperfectly. I did have to laugh because the spammers caught on to the Volo Media patent thing, and they were putting links up that were leading to malware sites. So don't go to any, you know, be very careful what you're clicking out there. If you go to a site that's just a page with a video icon in the middle, and it is an icon, it's not an actual player, be careful, because they're just, you know, it's software that you can, payloads that can be loaded and infect your machines. Firefox has patched some additional security holes. If you've, my Mac was trying to update. There's two new versions of Firefox, version 3.52. and 3.0.13, and it patches two critical holes. Make sure you update Firefox. Over at the BBC, the mother of the computer hacker that has lost all extradition challenges, has made an appeal to the president to say, hey, please intervene. Don't extradite my son to your country and prosecute him. But this gentleman is wanted for a military computer hack back in 2001-2002. And, of course, this is the guy who said he was trying to seek out UFO evidence. But so far, it looks like his last hurrah here may be some new Supreme Court that comes in, I guess, in October. I don't know how that system works in the UK. But he's probably very, very close to being extradited. Okay, if you are worried about internet service providers doing packet shaping, I'm going to have a link up in the show notes to an Ars Technica article that talks about a vendor who says that 90% of ISP customers engage in traffic discrimination. And this is one that you'll want to read, and this is probably a question you'll want to ask your ISP, if they're using this software or not. This is a pretty big claim by this company that there's as many ISPs as they're admitting in their press release using their software to packet shape, block, shred, filter, slow down different types of packets, anywhere from Skype calls to peer-to-peer type stuff. So I have this link up for you in the show notes. Hey, there's a domain thief, first in the country. First time ever someone has been arrested for the theft of p2p.com. And this has been going on for a while. The story started in 2005 when a couple's domain was hacked stolen out from underneath them in a essentially the guy had gotten access to their email account and then ultimately selling the extra domain for $110,000 to a domain investor. And so anyway, this guy has been arrested, and they're going forward with a prosecution. I will say in this that GoDaddy was the register that was holding the domain when the actual domain was initially stolen from, it was basically swapped from one account to the other. I guess there's a legal proceeding going on, a civil suit on this, so I don't know exactly what's going on. But here's the thing, folks. You have to protect your domain credentials. You know, if you are not using a very cryptic password on your actual register account, you're being very, very foolish. You know, because if someone gets access to your register account, they can do all kinds of damage. They can transfer domains to different individuals and, you know, very quickly steal a domain. And all they got to do is get access to your control panel. Be very careful about logging into a domain registrar's control panel essentially from any other location. But your home computer, and make sure you have good passwords on all your email accounts as well. I'm going to leave you with tonight's last article. Kind of a cool, it's basically a an index of some emails going back between two different neighbors. Instead of talking about an issue, all they did was emailed one another, and I think you'll get a kick out of this. All right, let me go ahead and get into the voicemails, because I got a couple of long ones here, and we're going to probably go long based upon the Everyone, please try to stay to 1 to 2 minutes on your voicemails. I'm going to play the – boy, this one is 4 minutes. It's really, really long. I may cut it off a couple minutes in. We'll go into it for a little bit, and I haven't reviewed it. But 4 minutes is really, really too long. 1 to 2 minutes is the best sweet spot for voicemails at 619-342-7365. Geeknews@gmail.com is where you can send your email comments as well. Let me go ahead and play this.
Hello, Todd. This is Jay Scholes in the chat. First off, great show. Love to see you on here. But I wanted to comment on the story about the guy who was being sued by the MAA. Let me tell you this. The MPA has done an amazing job in defending and even pursuing certain individuals as far as copyright music. And it's very important that they target these individuals specifically, because it's almost impossible to sue every single person who has ever downloaded illegal copyrighted material. But if you go about targeting, you know, college students who are using peer-to-peer networks and using them to set an example to try to deter users from using peer-to-peer networks, then, you know, that's about the smartest way you can go. And as much as I'm against, you know, if you own the music, then you should be able to do just about whatever you want. I mean, if you bought the physical CD and you go over a friend's house, it's just as legal to play it, you know, at a party. You know, I just have issues with the MPAA and playing, you know, music, sharing it over the internet. I mean, of course, I don't want to sound, you know, a little, you know, just redundant on what I'm saying when I go as far to saying, you know, there is a certain amount of liability that someone who owns the music should have. I mean, because if one person buys a CD, of course, the industry can't survive with peer-to-peer networks. But, you know, as far as this guy trying to fight the MPAA, you know, he should have just paid the little amount of money. I mean, these are the consequences that a lot of people take, and their risk. I mean, if the MPAA has, you know, hard evidence, hard proof that this individual has downloaded or uploaded music, movies, or whatever the case may be to the peer-to-peer network, and it's a certain amount of responsibility for the guy who had uploaded this data to assume, you know, responsibility for it. And I believe he's going about it totally backwards. And, I mean, he's getting sued now.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to head and halt that there just because it's so long. Yeah, I guess the thing is we all understand the consequences of, basically doing peer-to-peer type of activities. And, if you can't, pay the fine, don't do the crime. I think the verdict in this is pretty representative of the success the RIAA has had. And even though I'm not a fan of the RIAA. I don't believe what they're doing is working. I think we all agree that there should be a different. I think they've started to change. You look at what Zune does. You can get for a flat rate each month, you get access to the entire library. There's other music companies that are out there that are doing that. For a very minimal fee per month, you get access to really more music than you could ever buy in your whole lifetime. And I understand people want to be able to have that music to carry around with you. The Apple iPod does not make – you can't do that with the Apple. They don't have a subscription – or with the iPod. They don't have a subscription system. But if you want a lot of music and you want to be able to carry it around with you, that's, that's what Zune, Pandora, and other folks do in making stuff available. So I think there's plenty of alternatives out there, and it's just too bad that the RIAA has to continue to do this. Thanks for the call. Yeah, next time, please make it a little shorter, but call back anytime. It's definitely appreciated. Let me go ahead and get into the next voicemail.
Yeah, hi, Todd. It's Chris from the UK.
Hey, Chris.
You were asking on Friday's show what we thought about the situation with Jill and Kevin's use of Chris Brown's music on the wedding video.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an easy one, the answer to that.
It is.
You know,
true.
For their own, the wedding video, for their own personal use, just showing to family and friends, I don't see a problem with them using the music. But, now the video's gone viral, they've basically got the whole song, being played out there. And I do think that there is some element there if Chris Brown should be getting some sort of royalty for that.
I agree.
But similarly, he's benefiting on the back of the popularity of their video.
True.
So if anything, I think it should be a royalty share situation. But I certainly don't think that they should get the music free, given that they're, putting out a performance basically of his whole track on the net. But I certainly don't think there should be any royalties due if they were just doing that, for a personal video. So not an easy one, my friend, and I'm looking forward to show 500. Have a good one.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate the comment. Yeah, it's a tough one. It really, really is. And I think there was actually some articles out there that were saying, hey, agree, the artist definitely should get some, have the opportunity to make some money from that. But if nothing else, if you want this stuff to be kind of continue to be created, put a small cut in for the people that recorded it, too. I think you get the best of both worlds. Everyone wins. Everyone's happy. Everyone makes money. Otherwise, they would not have made money if they hadn't done that in the first place. So, I don't know. I guess it's a catch-22. But thanks for the call. Definitely appreciate it. And yes, I'm looking forward to show 502. All right, folks. I got a little bit of a scolding here. So here's the next voicemail. And we'll be nice because I am definitely the absolute world's best English major. I have the best writing skills in the whole world. And it's going to be proved by this voicemail. I'm being sarcastic.
I have comments on the patent dilemma that has swept the podcasting community.
Sure.
And would not be wanting... be walking in their shoes, T-H-E-R-E. How about T-H-E-I-R?
You're
as
right.
In their shoes, not over there. Their shoes. Or other. Illiterate.
Well, yes, I am illiterate. I am an equal opportunity voicemail player, so we thank you for your call. And yes, over there. Or there. How about over there? Right over there. Their shoes, my shoes, your shoes. Oh gosh, it's I can't win for nothing. All right, got another entry for the show 500 giveaway, and also we've gotten some pretty good donations the last couple of days for show 500. I definitely want to appreciate those, and we had a big one come in. Thanks for that. And podcast at podcastconnect.com. And I want to thank one here, do not read aloud, private. Got that one. Appreciate that submission as well. Got an email from Jen. in Belgium. Hey, Todd, I'm a longtime subscriber to your podcast. Enjoy it very much. I heard on, I think, show number 496 that some people complain about you talking about your family and personal stuff. I like the show setup and hope that doesn't discourage you to continue doing this. And if they don't like it, don't listen. That's just me. I live in Belgium. There are only two major internet providers here, and you have to choose between them. So at the moment, I pay €42 per month for 25 gigs down and 15 megs up. That's pretty good. 25. No. 25 gigs of bandwidth, but the speed is 15 megs upload and download speed. Wow. If I need to pay, I pay €1 for every 1 gig, and this is up until 100 gigs. Greetings from Belgium, Jen. Whoo, 25 gigs. How do you survive? Do you go over? How much is your bill every month? Wow. That's about like Time Warner wants to do. Wow. Just goes to show you. Just every part of the world is different. Whoops. Not supposed to read that. And Jay Clinton. Thank you so very much. It's definitely appreciated. And you know who I'm talking about for your show 500 donation. Big, big, big thank you. Okay. Got an email from JR. Said, hey, Todd, always look forward to the next podcast. If I could write more without hurting, I would question your ears off. Might think it's your wife asking questions. I'm joking. Laugh out loud. Keep up the good work. And it's Jeffrey from JeffreyRamsey.com. So this is JeffreyLRamsey.com. This is one of our listeners who's bedridden due to a physical issue that he has with injury he had a number of years ago. Got an email from Kathleen. He's a dear Geek News Central guy. I'm a proud Walmart employee. However, I don't think we should have a monopoly on EMI's music. I mean, honestly, the technology, music, and DVD section store I work at is very small. If this new idea comes into play, Walmart will have to start building larger supercenters or something. It's marketing suicide for EMI. Are they ready to see their profits plummet? Sometimes I can only wonder what people are thinking and try to maintain my own sanity. I'm against people going in and getting and putting ads over any video. I find it extremely annoying and rude. No one should be making money off someone else's wedding or wedding reception in such a tacky way. To be fair, to me, fair use also implies giving credit to your source. So what people should do when using something that belongs to someone else is this. They should list the music, clips, or whatever in the slide bar or at the beginning of the video. Also, they should put links to places where items can be bought in the sidebar so that if the people watching the video want to buy something used in the video, they can in short. I do think that the couple should be compensated for what was done to their video. I mean, really. So, yeah, I think they should get a piece of the pie. The way I see it, if you owe someone money, you should pay it. However, if you're innocent, you shouldn't have to pay. I think that the record industry is overreacting and only hurting themselves by asking for money than they're originally asking for. Printable is good. However, so is forgiveness and finding a way to handle the debt that won't destroy someone's life financially. The other problem, this is about our $675,000. Judgment. The other problem is if he doesn't pay it off within his lifetime, his children will probably end up with a debt. If he ends up having children later in life or other members of his family might end up borrowing the burden of the debt. If I get the letter from the RIAA, I would fight tooth and nail to get the payment brought down. I don't have a lot of money and I would be ruined if I had to pay a large amount that I don't have. I would want to drop the amount about a reasonable fee, maybe around $1,000 or so. The podcasting plan is a bad idea. As an American, I know that people can and will sue each other over the dumbest things. So how long will it be before someone tries to sue a podcaster for podcasting something they don't agree with? It could happen, right, Kathleen? Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to go out and reach out to Hulu or Apple and say, hey, we got this patent, and for free, we'll license it to you. And that company may say, oh, great, let's go ahead and make a licensing agreement, and that will give them validation, and then stand by. At least that's kind of the QT of a lot of these groups. I got an email from Carl. Hey, it's Carl here from Sweden here. The story is from July 20th, but it's still relevant since you talk about mobile networks. The story may be of interest to discuss on the show. Email hits 3G networks harder than peer-to-peer. I have that link up in the show notes. Got an email from Roy and Lard. Hey, I'm not sure Todd, I'm not sure how long I've been listening to podcasts, certainly long before I retired from the military. I've yet to find a podcast that is as interesting as informative as GNC podcasts. Even your sponsors are cool. I've been in the Canadian Army working in communications for over 21 years, so I have always enjoyed technology. Your show and your website keep me up to date with many of the important advancements in technology and communications. Thank you very much for all your hard work, and thanks to your family for supporting you. Sincerely, Roy out of Ontario, Canada. Okay, I've got a whole bunch of stuff here, yet we're out of time. And let me go ahead and just I'll wrap everyone up, catch everyone up on the next show. I have plenty of time to do that. But as always, it's been my pleasure to bring the show to you. And next show will be the big one, the big 500th show. Send your donations in for our giveaway to podcast@podcastconnect.com. That's my PayPal address. Any donations, small or large, will definitely be taken in and put in the kitty. And we'll give that money away on the next show to one of our needy families. It's going to be a very, very hard decision for me. I may have to do some sort of a random pick. I just, you know, I'm going to have to go through and figure out how I'm going to do that here between now and the next show. But thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Comments again, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call in your voicemails. Do it now so you can be in the 500 show, +1-619-342-7365. If you lose the number, it's on the Geek News Central website. Feel free to use it anytime, day or night. It's open 24 hours a day. That sounds like an ad, doesn't it? All right, folks, that's it. We'll see you next time. Take care and aloha.